We're holding on Ayin Zayin Omud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. We talked yesterday about the case where a person buys a field from somebody else and doesn't pay him the entire amount. To begin with, he pays him only a down payment on it. So we talked about, does that mean that he, what are the cases where he acquires the entire field and just owes the rest? Versus what are the cases where he acquires only the percentage that he paid for? So the last thing we pointed out was that there's a difference whether there's a difference whether the seller is badgering him for the rest of the money, showing, in other words, that to begin with, he sold it only because he needed the money very soon. So then in that case, we can say he wouldn't have intended to sell the entire field just for that the guy is going to pay him later, because that defeats the purpose. He needs the money now. Therefore, the guy would only acquire a percentage of the field as much as he paid, unless they wrote in the shtar explicitly otherwise. On the other hand, if it's not ayov nafik azuzi, then we can say indeed he acquires the whole thing and just owes the rest of it, because then the guy is not in such a rush to get the money. So we talked about dinim in that. So now the Gemara says a similar din for Omar Rava. A person lent 100 zuz to somebody else, and the other guy paid it back one zuz at a time. It is considered a payment, meaning, in other words, the guy can't say, the malva can't say, no, you have to pay it to me all in one lump sum. But he is entitled to tarumas. He is entitled to have a valid complaint against the other guy, which we've talked about in the last few days, what the implications of that are. It would mean that the guy maybe is not yotzi yedei shamayim. It would mean he'd have to ask mechila, etc. Because you can tell him, afsad tinu minai, you've caused me to lose it. When you get, psychologically, when you get a large amount of money at once, then you put it away. But when you get it a little bit at a time, then you tend to spend it as it comes, and therefore I didn't really get the full use of the money. But nevertheless, it is a valid payment. What this has to do with the previous din, the Rosh explains, because the same way as we said, when he pays half the payment on a field, so we said he's coin of the field, and he repays him the rest later on. So we see that it's possible to repay a loan not all at once. With that said, though, that Amar brings that if we're talking about if he pays him before the deadline, once it comes the time when he's supposed to pay, then he has to pay the whole thing, and then the malva would have every right to say that I want it as one lump sum. Okay. The Gemara says, continuing with this din about selling something and not getting the full amount for it yet, there was a person who sold chamra to somebody else. Now, the word chamra in Aramaic can, in Gemara terminology, can be punctuated one of two ways. It can be chamora, which means a donkey, or it can be chamra, which means wine. Here, Rashi translates it as a donkey, and the Ritva points out, and various Achronim point out as well, the reason why Rashi finds it important to mention that it's a donkey, why can't we say that it was wine, is because if it was wine, then there wouldn't be a question. You could divide it. You can say, I'm not going to give you the full amount of wine. I'm only going to give you a percentage of it. And therefore we could say he only acquires part of it, as opposed to when it's a donkey, it's one thing. You can't really divide it. Then we have to talk about whether he acquires the whole thing or not. That's according to the Ritva, and the Maharam mentions a similar point as well. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who understand that Amban and the Ran bring that there are Rishonim who understand that does mean chamra and wine, and that means wine and faker. The question is, do we say that he acquires the entire consignment of wine, or maybe we could say, since it's easy enough to split it up, then maybe he only gets part of it. Anyway, so uposhle chad zuza. So he had paid all of the value of the chamora, the donkey, or the chamra, the wine, as the case may be, with the exception of one zuz. V'ka'ayov nofek azuza, the seller is going back and forth and nudging him to pay him the extra zuz. Yosef Rav Ashi, v'kama ayin ba ki hai gavna mai. So Rav Ashi was sitting and looking into it. What would we say in that case? Koni or lo koni? Would we say he's kona because he paid almost all of it, all that was lacking is one zuz, or was he not kona all of it because of that one zuz? So again, if you say that it was a donkey, then the point is because the donkey, which is indivisible, then maybe we would say he really did, even though he's eye over nafik azuzi, maybe he does mean to sell him the entire thing, and just the guy is going to owe him the zuz, and he's nudging him, when are you going to pay me that zuz, but it doesn't affect the sale. Or would we say that, it means that he doesn't want the sale to actually be completed until he receives that zuz? But again, according to that way of looking at it, if it was wine, there'd be no question. All it would be is that the other guy would have acquired an amount of wine equal to what he paid for. That's according to the Ritva, and again, according to the Ramban and the Ran, it's the other way around. That if it's wine, then for sure we would say that if it's wine, we would ask the question whether maybe he is getting the whole consignment of wine or not. But when it's something like a donkey that you can't divide, no question, he would acquire the whole thing. Omelet of Mordechai the Rav Ashi. So the Mordechai says to Rav Ashi, "Hochi Omer Avimi Mehagrunya Mishmei the Rava." Avimi Mehagrunya said the following din in the name of Rava that's relevant to this din: Zuza Kizuzi Dami. Having one zuz lacking, as in this case, is the equivalent of having many zuz and missing Veloy Koni. So therefore, he's not Kona, and the seller could back out of the deal until the guy pays the other zuz. But Rav Acha Breder of Yosef says to Rav Ashi, what do you mean Rav Mordechai is reporting that Rava had said that one zuz missing is still enough to prevent the sale from going through? Don't we say in the name of Rava that when there's only one zuz missing, he is koina? Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers him to Tagum Shmaitach. You can explain that Rava's din, when there's one zuz lacking, he's still kona, but moicha sadeh upnei rasa, when he's selling its field because it's bad. So before we were talking about where the field is decent quality and he wants to, and usually he would want to hold on to it. And usually the only reason he'd be selling it would be because he's short of money, because he needs the money for something else or whatever. Here we could have fakir. He's selling the field because he wants to get it off his hands. So therefore, even if he didn't receive the whole payment, then still, even though I over nafik azuzi is just he doesn't want fakif, he doesn't want you, the lekeya, to change your mind and say, you know what, I realize this is a bad quality field, forget it, let me have my money back and take back your field. So therefore, he wants the remaining zuz so that the sale should completely go through, but not that it wouldn't go through, not that he doesn't mean to have it go through from his point of view, regardless, even though he hasn't gotten that one last zuz. So in that case, then we would say that the one zuz doesn't block the sale. But in other cases, such as as far as the wine or the donkey over here, we would have to see whether it was mipnei rasa, which actually Tosva says in that case it wouldn't only be one zuz. It would actually be even if it was a lot of zuzim, the same din would apply that when moicha sedeum mipnei rasa, we don't care about the fact that he's eye over nafik azuzi, because that's only because he wants to make sure that the other guy is not going to back out of the deal. We talked about yesterday in connection with mechiras chametz, this matter the Alter Rebbe brings up the point of eye over nafik azuzi, that for that reason, if you're selling directly to the goy, as they used to still do in the Alter Rebbe's times, then you have to have an order of kabbalan involved in order to avoid the problem where you want the rest of the payment from the goy. So like we said yesterday, the Sdei Chemed brings up the point, isn't it like Mercho Sdei, Mepnei Rasa? You want to get rid of your chametz. You certainly don't want the chametz in your possession over Pesach. And therefore, based on what we're saying over here, the Ayola Nafik Azuzi shouldn't matter. And there are various Acharonim talk about that, nevertheless, it still does matter. It's true that you're Mercho Sdei, Mepnei Rasa. On the other hand, the fact is you do want it. You certainly wouldn't accept if the goy were to say, I'm going to pay you back the down payment years from now. We're talking about the whole concept of selling the chiras chametz in bulk like that to a goy came about because people have their entire capital tied up in mashke, for example, that they were going to sell throughout the year, and therefore the fact is they do want the money from the goy at some point. So it's not completely moichos sedeu mipnei rasa. There is an element of that you want the money, not so much so the goy doesn't back out, because you yourself need the money in order to be able to continue running your business. So then you have the point that then you have the point of I opened off a Kazuzi, and therefore you have an out of cab one to avoid that. The Gemara continues, Pshita. Now it's obvious the following din by way of introduction to another one. Boil is a buni b'meya. What if a person needed 100 zuz, so he wanted to sell a small piece of land of his that's worth 100 zuz. V'loy ashkach, he couldn't find anybody who wanted to buy a field that size. V'zabin b'masayim, so instead he sold a larger field of his that's worth 200. V'ka'ayov nafik azuzi, and now he hasn't received the full 200, and he's going back and forth and asking the guy to pay him the rest. There's no question, loy koni, there's no question the other guy is not koine, because for sure there was no, he had no intention in the first place of selling that larger field, so he might actually want, in fact, he might actually want that was al-Korcha, he might say, you know why, I want the money, because I want to be able to buy another small field instead. Like this, I had to sell a larger field of mine, which I would prefer not to have had to do that. Instead, I want to be able to use the money to buy a smaller field. So that's the equivalent. So therefore, that's Iova Nofik Azuzi. Therefore, the other guy is not Koina. And at any time, the Moicher can say, you know what, give me back my field. I'll give you back my money. I'll give you back your money. And that's that. Ella, the question rather would be, e boilers a boni b'meya, the other way around. If he wants to sell a small field for 100, if he wants to sell one of his fields for 100, v'loy ashkach, he couldn't find anybody to buy a field that size. People only want bigger fields. The e torach, but if he would put some tircha into it, if he keeps on looking, have a mashkach, he would be able to find somebody. Instead, v'loy torach, instead he doesn't bother looking around for more potential buyers. V'zabin b'masayim, so then he sells a larger field for 200, v'ka'ayov nafik azuzi, and he's going back and forth to get the rest of the money. Now, the question is, what would be the din in that case? Is that the equivalent of selling a field because it's bad? Where we're saying that therefore the Ayov Nafik Azuzi doesn't prevent the sale from going through. In other words, we could say because he could have, it's a matter of that he could have put in the extra tircha and he decided not to put it in. And you know what? Let me just find somebody more easily who'll buy a larger field. So that means, in other words, that it's not so much that he wanted to keep that bigger field in the first place. Therefore, we can consider it mipnei rasa. And therefore, we would say the fact that he didn't receive the entire payment yet doesn't prevent the sale from going through. Oiloi, or maybe not. The fact is that he would have preferred to sell the smaller field. It's just that there was tircha involved in finding a new buyer. So what would be the din? The Gemara says, teiku, we can't prove one way or the other. And therefore, the result is that so we can't be sure whether in that case he actually acquired the entire field or whether he acquired the entire field or not. We could look at it either way. We could say that he did acquire the entire field, or we could say that not, that the other guy acquired only that he could say that if the seller wants to back out, then the buyer could say either give me back my money or give me a percentage of the field. So in fact, because you have the suffix over here, the fact is you do have a degree of kinyan. So they're showing him, say, the Rambam, the Ravid, the Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that neither one of them at this point can't change their mind, because after all, the idea is there is, the Ritva explains, there is, after all, a definite kinyan over here. There was, the other guy was Zoyche, the other guy was Machzik in it, or Khalifin or whatever, and here you have a suffix, whether the sale went through. So ain't Suffolk Motzi Midei Vaday. The Suffolk of whether the remaining money prevents the sale from going through can't take away from the Vaday. The Ritva also talks about what happens if the only Kenyan was this Kesef. We're talking about land, after all, where one of the three valid methods of Kenyan on it is Kesef. So then we would say the Lakeach has to bring a proof. And if not, then we would say Kalka Bacheskas Baal Medis. Then we would say that we go according to the Chazaka of who owned the Kalka so far, meaning that the Moshe would be able to say that the sale didn't go through. All of that is All of that is all of that is the gusa that we have in front of us. Of course, Agra brings a different gusa that the Rambam has. That to begin with, the question is that the question is not so much when he when he sold a larger field instead of a smaller one. Rather, the question would be that Rambam formulates the halacha as talking about with a field that's worth 100, and he managed to find somebody to buy it to buy it for 200. So then we would say that so then we could say that's in a way that's like Moshe Sadeh with Bnei Rasa. He wants the money as soon as possible before the guy realizes, you know what, I got swindled over here. I ended up paying twice as much for a field as I should have. So therefore, that the Isle of Norfolk Azuzi might prevent the sale from taking effect. Okay. Getting back to the Mishnah now, this was all a bit of a digression from the because the Mishnah had said kolachozaboy yodalatatona, and we said one meaning of kolachozaboy means in connection with that, with a sale where one or the other of them wants to back out of it. So now the Gemara continues. The Mishnah had said socher asachamur v'asakadu v'chola. We had a case where you hired a worker and they quit the job in the middle, but the difference is that it's a davar ha'avod. It's something which needs to be done urgently, as the examples in the Mishnah, for example, to bring pieces of wood or flutes for a chasana or for a levaya, whatever. Anyway, so we said so now because it's an urgent thing, he's allowed to hire other workers at their expense, or he can mislead them. So the misleading them we explained before means, in other words, that he would tell them, come back and work for me and I'll pay you extra, and then in the end he doesn't actually pay them that extra. What does it mean, socher aleihem? So it means, in other words, he's going to hire other workers and charge that to the original workers. So ad kama socher aleihem, up to what point, up to how much can he be paying the new workers and make the old workers pay for it? Rav Nachman ad kedei schoron. So Rav Nachman says only as much as the original workers would have been paid at this point. So meaning, in other words, it actually explains. Let's say that the workers already began some of the job and they weren't paid yet. So then, in other words, whatever it is that he would have owed them for the rest of the job is how much the maximum amount that he can hire new workers to finish the job, but not more than that. The braisa that we had before, and I involve him in Bayes, said that he could hire new workers even if they cost 40 or 50 zuz, which is far more than he was going to pay the original workers. Amalei, so Rav Nachman answers him, Kitanya hi shabasa chabila liyadai. That braisa is talking about where the Bala Bayis has their bundle in his hand, meaning, in other words, it's normal that the umnim, the craftsmen, very often when they accept on themselves they're going to do a certain job, then they bring their tools to him. They bring their tools to him. So now he has those tools in his possession. Therefore, he's allowed. Therefore, that's considered now that it, as if like he has that. So he has those already in his possession. Then, in other words, then he can use that as a basis for saying, well, look, these tools are worth 40 or 50 zuz. So therefore, on that basis, I can hire new workers, even if they cost 40 or 50 zuz, and use your chavila and use your bundle as payment for that. Tosfos actually asks, and in that case, it's poshut, and Tosfos gives a couple of answers. First of all, you might argue that it's only an asmachta, because if they bring the tools over there, it's not necessarily that they're guaranteeing that he can use those tools in payment of the thing. It may mean that so you might say it's only an asmachta, and therefore, so no, the braisa is saying it's not an asmachta; it's a full commitment. Whether because different Rishonim talk about because it's a davar ha'avod, or because they're able to go and finish the job. So therefore, we learned before that one definition of an asmachta is when it's out of their hands. Or the point is, Tosfos says that the other possibility is what we mean is that you could say when they're giving their tools, Tosfos is explaining, and so are many other Mefarshim, the reason why it works is basically on the grounds of a mashkin. Rashi is pointing out that it's a normal thing for the workers to bring their tools to his place, But it's not so much that they, it's not so much that they normally bring, that they normally bring the tools as if like we should have them ready when we start the job. It's more a matter of they're giving it to him as though it was a mashgun. So then in that case, so again, one way of looking at it is you could argue that this mashgun is more like an asmachta, and therefore we're being told that no, it's not an asmachta, it's a full fledged commitment. In fact, there are Rishonim that who say exactly that. When you give over something as a mashgun, then even without any other kinyan, you're already chayev to pay. So on the other hand, so anyway, Tosfos is saying over here, maybe you could say the nature of the mashgun that they're giving is that they're saying, fine, we understand you can hire other workers for the same amount that we would have paid for, not necessarily the entire value of that mashgun, and we're saying that no, nevertheless, he can still do at the entire value of the mashgun. There are Rishonim who learn actually that usually giving a mashgun doesn't make him obligated to pay, but in this case, it's basically because they're considered mazikim, because their quitting is going to cause him a hezek, because here we have a davar ha'avod, and therefore for that reason he'd be allowed to take their possessions, and therefore the point is again that it's not so much because of the dinim of mashgun, but because of the dinim of mazik. And therefore, even if the new workers are going to cost far more than the old ones, he'd still be entitled to do that on those grounds. Okay. Mishnah says, "Asocher es hachamor lahu lichei bahar." If a person rents a donkey, now that we talked about hiring workers, now we're going to talk about the other way around, where somebody rents an animal from you, and what are your obligations as the owner of the animal. So the Mishnah says, "Asocher es hachamor lahu lichei bahar." A person rented a donkey to bread, and then with the understanding that he was going to have it go on a mountain road, and instead he had it go on in a valley, or the other way around, he was supposed to take it in a valley, and instead he took it on a mountain. Even if both ways are the same distance, or even Tosfos says, even if the one that he went on was actually shorter, and the animal dies, chayev, then he would be chayev to pay. You wouldn't say that it's considered mesa machmas malacha, because each one has a disadvantage relative to the other. As we're going to see in the Gemara, when it comes to going on a mountain road, it's more of a strain for the animal to climb up the mountain. On the other hand, a valley has a valley. The air there is a lot denser and more humid, and therefore you could say that affected the animal's health. So the point is, he was Mishana, he did something different. So therefore he'd be chayav to pay. A linguistic point, by the way, over here, we have printed the word lahilichoy in Lashon Zachar, but there are a number of Rishonim that have the girsa lahilichcha it's supposed to be lahilichcha to bring it with Lashon Nekeva. So Rabbeinu Yohonasan points out that we find in Pesukim as well, where even though on the face of it, Chamor is Lashon Zachar, nevertheless we use Lashon Nekeva in connection with it. On the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, you could say that maybe the Lashon Nekeva goes on the word behema, which is indeed Lashon Nekeva, rather than the word chamur. Anyway, so the point is, we're saying again that because he did differently than what he had agreed with the owner of the animal. Now, if they hadn't agreed on anything, if they had just said that I'm renting this animal to take on a trip without specifying where, then he'd be potter if it dies on the way because meisimach nesmalacha. He specifically said, I'm going to take it on a mountain road, or you could have the owner of the animal told him, don't take this animal, is used to the mountains, take a davka there, and instead he took it a different way. Anyway, so therefore we're saying he's chayim. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, if he rented the donkey with the intention of taking it along the mountain road, and he took it on the valley, then it depends what happened to the animal. If it slipped while it was on that journey, Potter, then he'd be Potter from paying for anything that happened to the animal, because it's more likely to slip on the mountains where it's high elevations, and it could easily slip and fall. So therefore, by taking it in the valley, he made it much less likely that it's going to slip. So therefore, it would be considered an onus, and a socher is Potter from onus. The Gemara is going to ask why it is that here we're that in the ratio we didn't make that distinction, and the safer we are. So we'll get to that. On the other hand, if the animal got overheated, chayev, then he would be chayev for anything that happens to it, because the valley is hotter and more humid. So by bringing it over there, he made it more likely that the animal was going to be affected by the heat. And if it was the other way around, the deal was that he was going to take it in the valley, and instead he took it on the mountain. So then the other way around, if it slipped, then he'd be chayev to pay, because then he made it more likely that it's going to slip on a slope like that. But if it got overheated, Potter, then he would be Potter because it's less expected that it should get overheated on a mountain, because after all, the air there is it's more windy over there, and it's less likely that the animal is going to get overheated. On the other hand, but if it became overheated on the mountain because of the strain of going uphill, then he would be chayev, because then we can say that it's true, the mountain air itself is cooler and clearer. On the other hand, the fact is the strain of going up the mountain itself caused it to be overheated, and therefore he can be chayev for that. So Tosfos points out, now you can have, in other words, exactly that. You can see when the animal reached the top of the mountain, it wasn't sweating or anything, so obviously it was able to climb without any problem. Then you would know that it wasn't Hochama Machnas Amayla. And then later on, if it starts getting overheated on the mountain, then you can say that's an Oynas, as opposed to when you see that it was straining and sweating going up, then that would be different. Then you'd know that it was Chochma because of the climbing up the mountain, and the deal was you were supposed to keep it in the valley, and therefore there'd be reason to be Mechayim him. Tosfos also deals over here with the issue that we learned back in Hamafkid of Tchilos of Pshia, Besoifer Be'onis, where you started out by doing something careless with the Pikodin, and then in the end it turned out that it was injured or damaged or whatever because of an Onus. Now, over here, to begin with, you could argue that when he took the animal up the mountain, he's being pashea because it's more likely that it could slip on the mountain. And if it had slipped, he'd taka b'chayev. So why should we pater him just because instead, unexpectedly, it got overheated? And so Tosfos explains over here, similar to what they explained earlier in Hamafkid, that we only say tchilos of a pshia, a soif of onus chayev, only when the onus has something to do with the pshia. Here, where the pshia and the onus are two completely different things, because in the end it didn't slip, it rather got overheated, then even that opinion would say that he's potter. And Tosfos goes and discusses that point a little bit. Continues the Mishnah. Hasocher sachamor, a person rented a donkey, v'hivrika, and the animal hivrika. Now we'll see in the Gemara two possibilities what hivrika means, but in any case, the point is that the animal is barely usable still, but not really. To put it in modern terms, let's say you might have that you rented a car, and now, for example, let's say the engine's not working properly, so you can still run it, but you're limited to a maximum of 30 miles an hour, let's say. Ocean Nasa Angaria, or another possibility that the animal was taken away for Angaria. Angaria is forced labor for the government. So you would have back then the way it was that when you were going along with your donkey or whatever, government agents could come at any time and tell you know what, this donkey is needed. We need right now a donkey for government work to transport something for the government or whatever. So here we're taking away your donkey from you. They might pay him for it. They might not. It might be a temporary thing. It might be a permanent thing. We'll see all about that in the Gemara. Anyway, the owner of the animal can say to the renter, "You have yours. You keep it as is." In the case of the hivrika, means you're going to have a harder time driving the animal. But nevertheless, you're still going to have to do that. You'll have to go to the tircha. The Gemara is going to give two explanations of hivrika: that it went blind, or partially blind, or that it has a disease in its feet. Either way, it can still go, but you're going to have a harder time driving it on the road. Fine, but you're still going to have to do that. I'm not obligated to provide you another donkey. As far as Angaria, we're talking about that it's a temporary Angaria, so fine. You're going to be held up for a little bit. Wait until they finish using the donkey, and then they'll return it to you, and therefore I'm not obligated to provide you another donkey. It's your mazel, basically. Meso in Nishbarav, on the other hand, if the animal dies or gets broken and you can't use it at all, Chayav Lahamid Lechamer, then the owner of the donkey has to provide him with another donkey, because after all, the deal was that he was going to rent a donkey to do such and such work, and now the donkey is completely unusable. Okay. So the Gemara says, Maishna Reisha Deloi Kamathi Gemaishna Sefer De Kamathi. Why in the Reisha does it not distinguish between, it just says that he was supposed to take the animal on the mountain and instead he took it in the valley, and he said he's chayim for anything that happens to it, and it doesn't distinguish between why it died, whether because of heat, which would be more likely in the valley, or from climbing up the mountain, or whether from slipping, which is more likely on the mountain, or Mishnah safer to come off. Like, why in the next part of the Mishnah does it distinguish between whether the animal slipped or overheated or whatever? So there's a few answers. Amid Dvei Rabbi Yannai. So the first answer is Rabbi Yannai. They said in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yannai, Reisha Shemesa Machmasat Ma'aver. In the first case of the Mishnah, we're talking about there was no slipping, but it died because of the air itself. The air itself over there was bad. There was no overheating. There was no slipping. It just died on its own. So the owner of the animal is able to say, you know what, it died because of the air that it wasn't used to. This animal is used to being in the valley, and now you took it on a mountain, which is the air, which is an area that it's not that it's not used to breathing that kind of air, and therefore it was bad, for it, or vice versa, for it that usually lives in the mountains, and instead you took it in the valley. So Rashi is saying that the owner of the animal can say that, meaning, in other words, it doesn't even need to be. So in other words, so first let's finish the line in the Gemara. Amrinan, the owner of the animal can tell him, Avira dahar katla, the air of the mountain is what killed it. Amrinan, or we can say Avira de Bika Kotla, that the valley, Ramrinan, or we can say Avira de Bika Kotla, that the air in the valley killed it. Now, according to Rashi, it doesn't even need to be that we know that the air is different. The owner of the animal is able to make this claim, and we would have to pay attention to that claim, and therefore on that basis we would make the sofer pay. That's according to Rashi. So in other words, even the masker is only making a tainas shema. He's only saying, I don't know for sure that the air is different, but it's possible to say that it was, and therefore that would be reason to be mechayev him. As opposed to, again, when we see that it's a matter of overheating or slipping, where there we would say, as the Mishnah goes on to say, that it depends whether it was in the valley or the mountain. Tosfos says, on the contrary, it means when we know that that particular day, the air quality was different in the mountain or was different in the valley. Let's say, for example, it was snowy or it was rainy or whatever. So therefore, that's chilosav a seifer b'pshia. You could say, to begin with, he took it someplace where the air quality is known to be different that day, and therefore he shouldn't have done that, and therefore he's chayim. So according to Tosfos, it would have to be that the owner is arguing a tainus bari. I can show you for a fact, I can show you from the weather reports or whatever, that day the air quality was different in the mountain versus the valley. So that's the point of Tosfos. And then the Ritva says that it could be that we know that it's really more, we look at the animal itself. When we see that the animal, when we know that this particular kind of animal is the kind where a difference of air quality is going to cause it to die, then the masker can say that I know for a fact that this kind of other quality of air is bad for the animal, and therefore yes, as opposed to the sefer is talking about where he doesn't know that. So you have three different opinions among Rishonim what exactly the point according to Rabbi Yannai. Anyway, that's one answer. Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina gives a different answer. You could say that the case in the Reisha of the Mishnah is where the animal died because of the strain of going uphill. The strain, either way. So now, when he took it on the mountain, you can say it was the strain of climbing up the mountain. So that itself started having a bad effect on it. And later on, yes, you're walking on top of the mountain. It's already, the strain is over, but nevertheless, it was already weak from before. So now it couldn't handle the burden. And then therefore it all came together, and therefore it all died. And when it comes to taking it in a valley, You could say Rashi explains, even though we didn't see the animal sweating or it wasn't a particularly warm day or whatever, you could still say that, you know what, still, had it gone on the mountain like it was supposed to, it would have been able to cool off over there, and now it wasn't. So therefore, whereas in the valley, the air was a lot more humid and stale, and therefore weak, and therefore tired out the animal. So according to Rabbi Yossi Ben Chanina, we'd be talking about specifically where we see that the animal was tired, and then later on we can talk about that the extra strain that started with that. So later on, it died while it was carrying the burden. And you could argue it's Mesa Machmas Malacha, but nevertheless, since there was that strain at the beginning, that's Tzulasa B'Pshia, and therefore we would say Soifa B'Oinus, and we would say that therefore it's a reason to be Mechayev him. Actually, Tosfos says, even if we say Tzulasa B'Pshia, Soifa B'Oinus Potter, in this case over here, we can say he did something very different. If he had taken at the place where he was supposed to, then the animal might not have gotten tired out from this strain, and therefore there's a reason to be mechayev him. And the third answer, Rabba Omakunchi Kisha Nochsh. Rabba says a third answer you can say is that a snake bit the animal and died. And we're talking about where snakes are more likely to be in the particular place where he went. So depending on the type of snake, some of them are more likely to live on the mountains, some more in the valleys. So in the Reisha, since it was a snake that bit it, then the owner can say, you know what, if you had gone the other way, then the snake wouldn't have been there, and therefore wouldn't have died. So those are three ways so far of explaining the difference between the Reisha, where there's no distinction made how the animal died, versus the Sefer, where we distinguish whether it died because of overheating or because of slipping. So now a fourth point also, Rav Chiya Ba'aba Amar Rav Yechanan, Palmani Rav Meir. You know what? Another answer you could say is that the Reisha and the Sefer are going to different Tanoim. All this time, we're assuming that it's all according to one Tana. Now, Rav Chiya Ba'aba is saying that actually you could say the Reisha, which doesn't draw any distinction, would be specifically according to Rav Meir, De'oma, where he says, Kol Amavra Al Das Shabala Bayis, anybody who goes against what the Bala Bayis had wanted him to do, Nikra Gazlan, is called a Gazlan. So therefore, now, in other words, so we don't consider, according to the mayor, that it would be a case of a Soicher anymore, where Soicher is Potter from Oinus and Mesa Machmas Alacha. Rather, we would consider him like a Gazlan, who is Chaya for anything that happened to the animal, as we learned in Baba Kama. So therefore, we could say, even though in the end it wasn't, so even though we don't have to say that, So we don't need any of the answers before that the animal was obviously suffering from strain, or that there's a difference in air quality between one and the other, or it was bitten by a snake. Just the fact that the owner told him take it only on the mountain, and instead he took it on the valley, is reason enough for him to be called a Gazlan, according to the mayor, and to be chayev and everything. With that said, Maram Shif says it would dafka have to be from a mountain to a valley, or vice versa. If, for example, the owner told him, go on this mountain, and instead he went on a different mountain, that wouldn't be a reason to be mechayev. So the Gemara says, hey, Reb Meir, what statement of Reb Meir, what opinion of Reb Meir do we find that he says that concept, kol ha-mashanim idas balabayis nikur gazlan, kol ha-mavra al-das balabayis nikur gazlan, that we can apply that to our mission? Elamer Reb Meir Tzaba, are you going to say Reb Meir's opinion when it comes to a dyer, when a person gives wool to be dyed, and the guy dyes it differently, d'tnan, which we learned in a Mishnah in Baba Kama, hanosin tzemel tzabel tzboya le'odim, person gives wool to a dyer, telling him to dye it red, but tzava shocher, and instead he dyed it black, or shocher but tzava odim, we told him to dye it black, and instead he dyed it red. Reb Meir oimen noisin le'dmei tzamrei, Reb Meir says that Reb Meir says that he gives him back the value of his wool, meaning because he was koina the wool, and therefore he doesn't return him the dyed wool. Instead he has to give him the value of the raw wool that he gave him. Reb Yehuda said the dyer does not acquire the wool, but yodei lachtoina, as we learned in the previous Mishnah. So therefore, ima shvach yoser al yitzia, if the improvement in value of the wool is greater than the expense that he put into it, noisan lo yisa yitzia, then the owner of the wool only has to give him his expenses. Vima yitzia yiser al shvach, and if the expenses is more than the increase in the value of the wool because of the dyeing, Then instead, he only has to give him the shvach. So to use the example that we said the other day, let's say, for example, you could have where the guy's investment in raw materials, in wood to fire up the vat, and then the dye itself and whatever, was $5, and the wool has improved in value because of the dyeing it, even though it was the wrong color, has improved by $7, then he'd have to give him only $5. On the other hand, if the improvement in value was $7, and the expenses of wood and dye and so forth were $10, then he has to give him only $7. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's not actually acquiring the wool. He has to return the dyed wool to the Balabais, and the Balabais compensates him at the lesser amount of those two, because Yadei Alatachtaina. But according to the mayor, we're saying that the owner does not get back the wool, just the value of it. Doesn't that mean, in other words, because the mayor would say, since the dyer dyed it a different color, he becomes a gazlan, and now therefore he's acquiring it. So would that be a case of proving that kol hamashana that kol hamavir al das balabais nikur gaz. So the Gemara says not necessarily. Mean my not necessarily is that because he was mavir al das balabais doma shiny hosim to kanya b'shinui ma'ase. It's different over there because there was an actual shinui that he did on the wool, which therefore he can be koneh with that. So therefore, you could say that that's reason enough, not so much because he was Mavir al Das Balabais, but because there is an actual irreversible change to the wool over there. And as we learned in Bava Kamma, a change to something is generally enough to be koneh. Actually, the Ramban and the Ran point out, now we learned in Bava Kamma, it's really only when you have a gazlan that you say that. If we're saying according to the Meir, he's not a gazlan, then why should it be coded with shinui Maisa? The reason is because the fact that it is a Maisa with which a gazlan would acquire something, so therefore we could say fakir. We could say maybe he davka meant. So like this, Rav Meir was saying just the fact that he was Mavir al Das Balabais is enough to make him a gazlan. The Ramban and the Ran explain, in other words, he might deliberately go and dye it a different color, and Rav Meir would take the view that he's doing that in order to become a gazlan and acquire the wool itself. And then the Ritva says another point that when it's a real shinui like that, then Rav Meir would consider it a gazlan even if he doesn't mean that. So a nafkamina between them, an obvious nafkamina might be if he did it mistakenly. According to the Ramban and the Ran, we would say he wasn't koneh because there was no intention to be a gazlan. According to the Ritva, maybe it wouldn't make a difference. Anyway, the point is there's no necessary proof from there that Rav Meir would hold kalamavir al das balabais is automatically nikur gazlan, because in this case the shinui is a reason to say that there's that the dinim of a gazlan apply. Elahora meir de mageves porin. Rather, maybe we can say that we're talking about the din that Rav Meir says in connection with collecting money from Atonis Lev Yonim on Purim. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Magebes Purim L'Purim, when you collect money, the Gaboi Tzedakah of the city, go and collect money to be able to give out to the poor people, to be able to buy a Purim Suda, L'Purim, it has to be used specifically for the needs of Purim, namely for them to make their Purim Suda. Usually when you give tzedakah, the gaboi tzedakah have discretion of what they can do with the money, but here we're saying that they dafka have to give it for the purpose of the sudas purim. And magiva se'ir lo'osa'ir, and when you collect in one city, it dafka has to be given to the poor people of that city. Ve'in medaktikin bedavar, we're not particular on it to say, you know what, it's enough that let them buy cheap food with it, and we, the Gaboi Tzedakah, will use the rest of the money for something else. No, we have to use all the money to get them a very generous Suda. So what we do is, so the Gaboi Tzedakah will use all the money and they'll buy calves with it, which are good quality meat, and they'll shech them and give them to the poor people to eat. If they have leftover meat, if the poor people don't eat all the meat, then fine, then the rest of that money can be put into the general tzedakah fund and they can use it for other purposes. So they have to try to make sure that all the money is spent on food for Purim specifically. If in the end there's something left over, then they're allowed to use it for a different purpose. There's a sicha where it ever touches on this in Chelek Tes Zayin and makes a point that the mitzvah Matonas Lev Yonim on Purim is not really like the mitzvah of Tzedakah the rest of the year. It has a specific purpose to be mesameach them, and therefore that results in this din that you can't redirect it for something else. The Braisa continues. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Magebes Purim L'Purim. Rabbi Eliezer also says to the starts by saying that the collection of tzedakah for Purim has to be kept for Purim. The difference is in what way is he arguing with the Tanakhama? Tosfos says the Tanakhama is talking about the gaboy tzedakah. They have to be careful not to redirect the money for some other purpose. Rabbi Eliezer is talking about the poor person himself who was given the money for Purim specifically for his suda, that he can't go and unilaterally change it to something else. Ve'ina oni rashoi likach mehen ritzul asandoli. The poor person would not even be allowed to use that money to buy himself a shoelace. Elin ken hisna b'maimet anshei ir, unless he makes a tnai in the presence of the people of the city, the shiva tuvei ir, the vada kohol, basically, that he's going to use the money for something else, and they give him permission, but otherwise not, he has to use the money that he received for Mageves Purim, where it was supposed to be used for his Suda, then he has to daftly use it for his Suda. Divir Rabbi Yaakov Shomim Shom Rameir, and that's what Rabbi Yaakov says in the name of Rameir, that was Rameir's understanding of the Machlokas. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mekel. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is Mekel and saying that the Gaboyim or the poor people could redirect the money for whatever they want. So that's what Marashah says. The reason why we're sticking in over here, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Meir in the middle, means, in other words, that Rabbi Yaakov is saying in the name of Rabbi Meir, this is what that you should know, that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim argued and said that like that. Actually, the Marashal brings this braise, is also brought later in the Masechta, and there it doesn't mention anything about Rabbi Eliezer, so he wants to say that there seems to be a mistake over here in the way it was written in the Gemara, but no, Marashal says there's no need to change anything. What it means is, in other words, that the fact that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer said such and such is only according to Rabbi Yaakov, in the name of Rabbi Meir. So later on, when the Gemara brings this Braisa again, you don't have that particular detail. It doesn't mention Rabbi Eliezer because they were talking only according to a different version where Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim did not have that all. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Meir was saying that you can't do anything different. You were given the money for the Suda Sportim. It has to be used for the Suda Sportim. So therefore, so that on the face of it, that means why? In other words, because if you were to use it for something else, you'd be Mavar al Das Balabais. The Balabais told you to use this money for Suda Sportim, and you'd be using it for something else instead. And that makes him a Gazlan. But the Gemara says that's not a proof. Dilma Hosam Nami, maybe you could say over there, the reason is that died to deport him only they had in mind, they specifically gave it to him only having in mind Purim. They didn't give it to him having in mind that he could use it for any other purpose. So therefore, in other words, if he uses it for some other purpose, not a matter of him being a Gazlan, if he uses it for some other purpose, then he's not putting that money in the first place because the condition was that he's going to use it for the Purim. So it's not that a general thing that you can say that a Mavar al Das Balabais Nikul Gazlan, but only in this specific case because they gave it to him. They gave it to him with that particular intention. And if he uses it for some other purpose, then the money remains in the chazaka of the original owner. Okay, the Gemara says Ela Horam Meir. Rather, we should say that we can learn that again when Rav Chiya Ba'aba is saying that Rav Meir says Kol Amavra Al Das Ba'Avais Nikur Gazlan. Where are we getting that from? So we can say it's another din that Rav Meir says. The Tani Rav Shimon Alazoyim and Rav Shimon Rav Meir Hanosin Dinner La Oni Likach La Choluk. A person gives a dinner to a poor person to buy him a shirt. Lo Yikach Boy Talis. Then the poor person is not instead allowed to say, you know what? I'll buy a talis with it instead. Talis, you can buy cholok, or the other way around. If he gives it to him to buy a talis, he can't instead use it to buy a shirt. Mipneshim mavir al daita shabalabayis, because he's going against what the balabayis told him. So we see that a mayor holds that just the fact that he's mavir al das balabayis is reason enough to make him a gazan. So the Gemara says, why? The Dilma shiny hosam to also the michshidei. Why? You could say, you know what? There's a very good reason why he can't change it over there. Now the Maharam Shif adds, he says, okay, why can't we say before? Because just like with the Magebis Purim, where we gave it to him specifically for the purpose of using it for the Purim Soda, the difference is exactly that. When you're giving Matonas Lev Yonim on Purim, you can expect that the people are giving it to him Davka to use for his Purim Soda. When it comes to other things, maybe you could say the fact is a person is not necessarily machpid, that usually you are allowed, after all, to redirect the gabor tzedakah in particular, can redirect tzedakah funds to a different purpose. Here also, you could say maybe it's not so bad. He's buying a talus instead of a choluk or something. Are you really going to mind that much? Nevertheless, your mayor is saying that the fact that you did differently isn't the fact that he did differently is enough to brand him a gazlan. But the Gemara is saying maybe not. Maybe the difference is the also the mechshedei. People might suspect the balabais who gave him tzedakah. The Amri Inchi, people are going to say, Oma Plani is of Ninale Lavusha, Laplani Anya. Here, Plani, the Balabas, said that I'm going to buy a garment for Plani, the poor person, the Loizavanle, and here in the end, he didn't buy it for him. That would be, in other words, if he said, I'm going to give you money for a talus, and now people see that the poor person does not, in fact, have a talus, so they're going to suspect that the Balabas didn't follow through with his commitment. They're not going to realize that the Oni instead used the money to buy a shirt, Inami, or the other way around, Zavninale Glima. Actually, Lavusha would be the shirt, a Zavnina like Glima, or that the Balabas had said, I'll buy him a Glima, which is another word for a talus, Voizavanle, and in the end, he didn't buy it for him. So the reason we could say, not because I'm Maver Aldas Balabais, but because he's causing a chshad on the Balabais. I think Mar says, in Cain, if that was the only problem, listening to Pnei Chshad, then the Braisa would say that Rav Shimon Elazar was saying, you can't do that because of chshad. What does it mean instead? When you're saying because he goes against the word of the Balabais, that means only because he changed it, even when there's no concern of chshad. So therefore, yes, that proves that Reb Meir holds that. So now Reb Chiya Bar Abba says, applying that to our Mishnah, then Reb Meir is going to say that just by virtue of the fact that he was supposed to take the animal on the valley road, and instead he took it on the mountain road, or the other way around, is enough to make him a gazlan, and therefore to be chayiv and oinsin, unlike the other answers, whereas in the next part of the Mishnah, we're talking about according to other Tanoim who would disagree with her mayor. And again, the other answers don't require us to say that. They could say, well, the entire Mishnah goes according to the Chachamim, and just in the ratio, you have other reasons to be mechayev him because we see that the animal was strained, or because there was something involved in the air, whether we know for a fact that there was a difference in air, or whether he can claim that, or whatever, as we said before, the three-way machlokas were showing him, or because we see that the animal was strained, or because it was bitten by a snake. But Reb Chiya Bar Abba's answer is saying that we can say that you don't need any of those answers, and rather Reb Meir would say even when none of those considerations apply, still just the fact that he went against Das Balabais is enough to make him a gazlan. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, we said a person rented a donkey and hivrika. So we said the owner can tell him, keep the animal and manage with it as best you can. I don't have to supply you another animal. So my hivrika, what does this word hivrika mean? Here in Bavel, they explain, it means nahirisa. Means that the animal went blind. The word nahirisa literally means light. So it's like Loshan Sagi Nahar himself, which means a lot of light, is so called as a euphemism rather than saying that he has all darkness. So the same way we hear hivrika would be related to the word borok, meaning lightning, would mean, in other words, like a flash. So it would mean, in other words, that the animal is suffering from some kind of blindness. It's not completely blind, but it's partially blind. Rashi uses a word over here that's translated as a French word. That means literally like as if like there's a curtain in front of its eyes, so like it can't see so clearly. Anyway, that's one answer. Rava Omar, Rava gives a different explanation of Zakas, that the word Hivrika of our Mishnah means where the animal is suffering from, that the animal is suffering from avzakas, which means that the word avzakas is also related to the word bozok, which is another word for borok, meaning lightning. So that would explain that why the Mishnah is using the word vihivrika, but the word avzakas means worms that are attacking its feet. So therefore, again, it can walk, but it's having difficulty walking. And the Gemara tells in that connection a short story involving the avzakas. There was a person who once told who once said avzakas b'milsa d'malka. There are worms. I saw worms or moths eating the silk clothes that are in the king's wardrobe. Omer le b'mai. So they asked him which kind. B'tlei kesef or b'tlei zahav. Did you see them in the silver garments or in the gold garments? Rashi explains silver garments would be so first of all, Rashi explains milsa de malka means the silk clothes. Although actually, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out often in the Gemara, milsa actually means fine wool. Why don't we explain that over here? And especially wool is much more likely to be attacked by moths than silk. Well, after all, the silk itself is produced by moths. Anyway. Rashi says then that that silver ones would mean the linen garments, which usually linen back then was not dyed because it was hard to dye linen with the technology that they had then, or in the gold kalim, meaning in other words it would be in woolen kalim that would in woolen clothes that were dyed red, which is a reddish goldenish color. So ikadami betlay kesef amar. Some say that he replied that he saw it in the silver ones, in the white linen garments for kaplua, and therefore they said you stand talking nonsense, and therefore they executed him because moths don't attack the linen garments. The ikadami betlay dahav amar. Others say that he told them that it's taking place in the dyed woven garments, the shavkua, and they left him alone because then that's fine. It's normal. For moths to attack woolen garments, and therefore he's telling, and therefore they realized he's telling the truth. So there's a number of other different explanations. First of all, the Aruch brings over here that we're talking about. This wasn't Stam a person. This is the person who was in charge of the wardrobe of preventing it from getting eaten by moths. So if he says that it's the linen garments that were attacked by moths, then that was Pshia. It's not even normal for moths to eat that. So you must have been very careless to allow the moths to breed there for so long to the extent where they even started attacking the linen. Whereas if he says that it was the woolen garments, okay, listen, there's only so much you could do because it's normal for them to be eaten by moths. So Tosfos, on the other hand, brings a different girsa. The word is not milsa de malka, but rather mimulsa de malka, which would be the king's mules. And according to that, then the avzokas is again like so again, we just said that avzokas can mean where worms attack the animal's feet. So here it would be similar that he's saying that he saw a worm, that he saw that the king's mules are suffering from this kind of attack by worms. So now when they ask him to play kesef, if it play zahav, they mean, are we talking about the white mules or are we talking about the reddish ones? And then if he says the white mules, he's in trouble. Tosfos doesn't explain why. Maram Schiff says because maybe they knew that these kinds of worms never attack the feet of white mules, only of colored ones. So he tells them colored ones and he's telling them the truth, but otherwise he's stam hacking them a chain. There's yet other explanation. The Ravid says that actually we're talking about that he's saying that the avzokas over here means that they became rusty. And tlei kesef would be clothes that are interwoven with silver thread, and tlei zahav would be kalim that are interwoven with gold thread. So then, in that case, silver. So again, we're talking about evidently that Ivan understands that we're talking about that he was the keeper of the wardrobe. Silver can easily tarnish or rust. So in that case, that was careless of him to not prevent that before it became so widespread. On the other hand, gold normally doesn't rust. So therefore, it was an onus, and therefore they left him alone because there's nothing much that he could have done. The point is, we see from this that avzokas means some kind of attack by worms or rotting away or whatever, and therefore, so Rava is saying that an Or Mishnah Hivrika means that the animal is suffering from a condition like that. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah. Oishin Nasus Angaria. We said if the animal was taken as Angaria, it was taken for government service, then that's another case where the owner of the animal can say, I'm not required to give you another animal. It's your mazel, basically. So Omar Rav Loshanu Elaban Gaia Chizeris. That would only apply only if the Angaria is going to be returned to him. So in other words, the government officials are taking it for a day or two, and then they're going to return it to him. Avon Gaia Shane Chazeris, but if it's never going to return to him, they're taking it completely and they're never going to return it, then it's the equivalent of it dying or whatever, Chayav Lahamed Lechamer, then the owner is going to have to give him a new animal, because now it's the equivalent of the animal dying. So when it's Angaria Chazeres, he's going to be delayed a little bit, but nevertheless, that's not a reason to give him another Chamer. Tosfos points out, the same way as we just said, Hivrika, even though he has to take the animal more slowly, because now it's suffering from an eye disease or a foot disease or whatever, and it can't walk as fast. Nevertheless, he can say Harei Shalach Lefanecha the same way over here. You're delayed by a day or two because of the Angalia, not my problem. But if it's if Angalia She'ena Chazeres, then Rav says that he would have to provide him another donkey because now it's the equivalent of the animal dying or being broken or whatever. Or Shmuel Omer. Shmuel says it doesn't make a difference. Bein Angalia Chazeres. Bein Angalia She'ena Chazeres. Doesn't matter whether it's going to be returned or not. The difference is rather, in Bederech Halicha Nitla, if it's being taken in the same direction where he was going. So meaning, in other words, the Angalia official was saying, I'm taking this animal for the king's service, but I'm taking it in the same direction that you were going anyway. So either way, then the owner can tell him Harei Shalach Lefanecha, because that's how it is. In other words, basically, Rashi explains the way it would work with Angalia is they're going to take your donkey for a while. You're going to walk together with it. And when they find somebody else with a donkey, then the Angalia official will take the next one and continue on the road and give you the original one. So you can say it's your mazel. So it's fine. You go rent another donkey and follow him. And that way you'll have something to transport your goods. And soon enough, the Angalia official will find another donkey. And then you can transfer your goods back to this one and continue. That's a point to Rashi. That's a point to Rashi. Tosfos has a different Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hananel a different explanation. Derech Halicha would be where the Angalia officials are not searching people's houses. They're just whenever they see somebody walking on the road with a donkey, then they can seize it. So then we can say, Harei Shalach Lefanecha, it was your mazel. If you had kept the animal at home, then it would have been taken. So even if it's Angalia, She'ena Chazeres, the difference is that here we can attribute it to the mazel, as opposed to when the animal died, then you can say, like we said earlier in the Masech, the Malach HaMavis, Mali Hocha, Mali Hossam, it's not my mazel, the animal was destined to die at this point anyway. Anyway, so according to Shmuel, if it's B'derech Halicha, again, according to Rashi, we're going in the same direction, we're according to Tosfos, bringing from Rabbeinu Hanano, if the officials are taking from people on the road, but not in the houses, then he can tell him, Harei Shalach Lefanecha, and I'm not obligated to give you a new animal. If it's not B'derech Halichasa, they're going in a different direction, according to Rashi, or they're even going and searching people's houses, according to Tosfos, then Shmuel would say that he does have to provide him another donkey. So the Gemara says, Mace, we have a contradiction. A Braisa says, if a person rented a donkey and hivrika, either of the conditions that we said before, the eye or the foot disease, or the animal went crazy, and again, now you can still use it to carry burdens, it's just going to be harder because now you have to be more careful to be on top of it so it doesn't wander off the road. The owner can still say, and I'm not obligated to give you a different donkey. But the Braisa says, Meso Shanasas Angalia, if the animal died or it was made into Angalia, Chayav Lahamad Lechamur, then he has to supply him another donkey. So, Bishlem Lerav Lekasha now appointed. Now, on the other hand, the Mishnah had said that when it's Angalia, he says, Harei Shalach Lanecha. The Braisa is saying, when it's Angalia, he supply another donkey. Bishlem Lerav Lekasha, so according to Rav, it's not a problem. Kan Ban Gauya Chazeres, Kan Ban Gauya Shein Chazeres, because the Mishnah is talking about where he's going to get it back. They're only using it for Angalia, for government service for a short time, and then he's going to get it back. The Braisa is talking about where he's never getting it back, and therefore the Braisa is comparing it to the animal dying. El Shmuel Kasha, but how would Shmuel understand it? Where Shmuel says there's no difference between Angalia Chazeres and Eina Chazeres. The Chitema the Shmuel Nami Le Kasha. And you're going to say, you might say that according to Shmuel, there's no problem either. But the difference will be whether it was on the way that he was going or on the road versus in a different direction or even in the houses, the distinction that Shmuel had said. But the problem with that is, Homadi Katani Sefer, the Braisa, though, continues. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, in B'derech Halichasa Nitla. Reb Shimon Elazar says it was taken B'derech Halichasa, Omer Harei Shalach Lefanecha, Vim Lav, and if not, Chayiv Lahamed Lechamer, then if not, then he has to supply him another donkey. Mekal, the Tanakama, Loi Shiny Le, implying the Tanakama doesn't hold of any such distinction. So how would Shmuel understand the Braisa? His opinion would work according to Reb Shimon Elazar, but how would he explain what would he say how the Tanakhama holds? So the answer is Amar Lakshmo Lav Ki Ika Rav Shimon Lav Mi Ika Rav Shimon Gamliel Dekoi Kavasi. Well, very well. You have the opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar who agrees with me. I know that Rav Shimon Elazar. I'm saying like Rav Shimon Elazar, I don't have to hold like the Chachamim. I'm entitled to hold like Rav Shimon Elazar. It's true. Yochad V'Rabim usually Alocha K'Rabim, but I'm entitled in this case to say that I find Rav Shimon Elazar's logic more compelling and I follow it. Another way, boy say makula kula Reb Shimon Elazar. Another way you could understand is maybe the entire brisa is according to Reb Shimon Elazar. B'chasurim machzera, you could say the brisa is missing words. B'hachikatani, maybe it means to say like this: Hasercher sachamor v'hivrika osh onishtatus. If the animal hivrika or went crazy, omel ha'aresha lachavanecha, then the owner can tell him tough luck. You keep the animal and you manage with it as is. Meso shenasa sangaria, if it died or was taken as angaria, then he has to supply him another donkey. But here's the part that would be missing from the Braisa. When would we say that with Angaria he's not entitled to get a replacement donkey? Is only when it's not Mederach Halichasa, when he's going in a different direction according to Rashi, or when they took it even from his house according to Tosfos. But if it was taken on the way, Divrei Reb Shimon Elazar, Shahoy Reb Shimon Elazar, Omer, because Reb Shimon Elazar would say, in bederach halichasa nitla, hilucha nitla omer l'aresh al-chachanecha, v'im lav chayv l'ham l'ay chamar achar, you could say Reb Shimon, the Braisa, in other words, it's not two different opinions, it's rather the Braisa is mentioning that distinction of derech halichasa or not, and then stressing Reb Shimon Elazar is the one who makes that distinction. But the Gemara asks, how could you say that the Braisa is talking, is according to Reb Shimon Elazar? Well, Katani Reisha, the Braisa begins. We're saying that the animal suffered from Hivrika or it went crazy, then he says, Reb Shimon Elazar says that in a different Braisa, that if you hire, that if you rent a donkey to ride on it, and the then he does have to supply him another donkey. So here the Braisa is saying that you don't, and Reb Shimon Elazar says you do. So obviously then he's disagreeing with the Braisa. And the answer is Amar Papa, and the answer is Amar Rav Bar Avuna Luka Valer Shain. It's different when you're talking about to use the animal to ride on. You can't ride on an animal that's Hivriko Ishinashatza because it might throw you off or whatever because it's weak or it's crazy or whatever. But here before we were talking about where you're carrying packages on it, then you can say Arei Shalom. And the Gemara finishes. Amar Papa, you should know that if he rents the animal in order to carry glassware on it, is also the equivalent of Luka Valeha, and you would have the same din that we would say that if the animal hivrika or goes crazy, then you have to supply him another one because if the animal falls down, the glass is going to break. So therefore, he would have to supply him another one. But if he's carrying other kinds of packages on it, then we would say, Harei Shalach Lefanecha, as the Mishnah had said, and he could say, you manage with the animal as it is. It may be a little harder than normal, but nevertheless, you have to manage that, and I'm not obligated to supply you another donkey.